Does that make a difference? Yeah? Oh, there we go. Are you doing something back there, Steve? Yeah. Worked with Steve yesterday. You probably had enough of my talking. Yeah. Now, what you just said and what happened with you, Whitney, this is right to the point of the message today. Right to the point. Okay, so here we go. You know, we've been talking about this whole concept, and we can't get away from it, and we can't just put our heads in the sand and pretend that evil is not abounding more and more in the world. It's just happening. We've had numbers of messages that have been dealing with this whole concept about the evil day. Last week, one of the things that was mentioned was that we need to love people, but we need to hate evil. We need to hate evil. And that can't just be some abstract, oh yeah, I hate evil, and then there not be something proactive that happens where you're engaging yourself in standing against evil. Yeah? And that's really, really important for the church. And along with this whole discussion, this whole series of things that have been happening for a couple months now has been dealing with the fact that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, it's not good for anything. And it's going, and it says, and it will be trampled underfoot by men. And I think we can see that this is happening. And so the messages that have been coming have been to encourage us and direct us to get back on track, grab a hold of some of that savor that we should have. And then the last couple of weeks, one of the things that the church needs to do is walk in wisdom. And we've had two. Sermons the last couple of weeks have been talking about wisdom, walking in wisdom, right? And now I want to talk about something else that the Lord wants to have us do. And all of what we're saying here is part of this word. As the evil day comes, in the time period that we're in, Jesus tells us that we need to be ready. Right? And so I'm going to talk today about being ready, being prepared. Okay? So that's what this is going to be about. Okay. So I put down here that it's important for us to know, in order to be prepared, it's important for us to know that God protects us. And God prepares us, right? He protects us, and he prepares us. And so I would just want to talk about this first, because preparedness has to start in the heart. There's lots of doomsday preppers that are out there, who some of them don't know the Lord, some of them do. But their focus, their obsession is in having all kinds of food and all kinds of whatever. And it's not a reliance on God as much as it is in the material things. But I'm sure we all understand that at some point in time, the preparations that we do make would run out. That doesn't mean that we don't prepare and listen to God, and God says, buy a little bit of extra this week and save it and build up. You know, we should, if, as we hear God say that, we should do that. We should be prepared for things. And that's what this message is about. And I want you to understand that talking about physical things is important. It's not that it isn't. But the thing that's the most important, that's going to get us through whatever evil is coming our way. Because it is, don't you think?
Yes, it
We're in the evil day. It's the day of the Lord, which is the time of his parousia in the days before his coming to take his church. There's lots of evil things going on. The scripture says it's a day of darkness and gloominess. It isn't a fun time for the church. And like what, I think it was Reggie, somebody was saying about it was Chris, about the persecutions of the Coptic Christians right now and Christians all around the world. I talked about this last week too. Things are increasing. And we can't just say, this is how it's always been. No, things are getting worse and worse. And we can't be afraid about that. We need the scripture. We need the presence of God so that we're not afraid. So that we can stand in security. Right? So let's look at some scriptures here. This helps us to prepare for what's out ahead. If you don't know that you're protected in God, that God cares for you, then you're going to be a shaky kind of person. The scripture says at the end of the age, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything that can be shaken is going to get shaken. And we can pretend to be these great Christians. But when things start shaking at the core of our being, we better have already automatically have in us that we're going to lean on God. We're going to tuck into God. We're going to hide in Christ. Right?
Yes.
Very, very important. And you've heard that from Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man sees evil coming and he hides himself. I don't know why that is. Why is that? I'm keeping this down so it doesn't. Okay. So let's start this message in Psalms. And let's go, I guess we'll go to Psalm 27. We need to be hid in Christ, right? And a prudent person, which is a wise person, we're talking about wisdom, a wise person sees the signs that are going on in the world. They see the events that are taking place, and it isn't just some separate little event that's going on. They start to see, when you have wisdom, you start to see connections. And you see, well, if this happens, and if this continues to happen, and you get more input from events that, yes, they are still continuing to happen, what are the consequences? Where does this lead? And people these days, they don't think like that. People don't think like that at all. Everything is its own separate little event that has no real connection to them. It's just something that's happening in the world. And they're not tucked into God enough to see how, hey, these things pull together, and if this keeps going, this is going to affect me. Most people aren't going to change their life unless there's a direct effect on them. If it's a time off, if it's a little bit away, people don't tend to push it off and push it off. It's like our government kicking the financial bomb down the road. It's going to happen. You guys know that. $17 trillion. There's going to be a big bomb, financial bomb, that's going to happen. Joe, did you? I like being all the way in there. Okay. All right. So what was I saying? Oh, financial bomb. Yeah, and then we'll get to. There's big trouble coming ahead. And people might say, well, we've had these things. It's cyclical. And there's a certain aspect where that's true. But at some time, at the time of the end, things aren't going to bounce back up. And we've got to be watching, don't we?
Yes.
Jesus tells us to watch. We need to be watchful. Understand what time it is in the history of the world. The end of an age, right? Okay, so, and Jesus wants us to be prepared for all these things that are going to happen. So Psalm 27, verse 5 says, "For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he will hide me. He will set me upon a rock." And we know who that is, don't we? Those of us, when shaking kinds of events happen, we're going to go running to God. And we have, and we will continue. And that's important that we remember this. Because there are deeper things that are going to hit us that can really shake us up. And we need to be people that run to God right away. We will be prepared if we're those kinds of people. We won't be prepared. You can have all the guns and ammunition and food and everything else. And if you aren't relying on God, that's not going to help you. You know that. I want you to know, I think you should have guns and ammunition and extra food. I think we should. But that is not where my reliance is. Okay. There's another scripture that's real close to that, so I'm just going to read it real quick. It's Psalm 32, and it's verse 7. It says, "You are my hiding place." Don't you just love that? And I love that song, you know. "You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will compass me about with songs of deliverance." Hallelujah. God doesn't just put us in a bubble. We're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of it. But we're still in this world, and we get affected by warfare. We get affected by economic situations. We get affected by diseases. We're not in some little bubble. But God delivers us out of these things. He does this in numerous kinds of ways. And the point that we need to see is that we need to just, every time, is to rely on Him. Tuck into Him. Find our hiding place in Him. Trust Him. You know? We were looking at a car the other day and really wanted to get it. And it just didn't work out. And I could have, you know, tried to do something and make it all kind of work and extend myself financially. And I just asked God, and God gave me a peace. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
All right? I tucked into God. Here was something I really wanted, but no, I'm listening. I'm going to listen to you, God. And then God directed us and... The next day, the car place calls us back and says, "We've got this other vehicle we'd like you to look at." So we looked at that and we ended up buying it. So, and there's all this peace that comes with all of that. You know, now, if a month from now, it becomes a jalopy because it's all broken down, I'm still going to have peace. Because I trust God. For another, yeah. And pay monthlies on that thing. Isn't that what this is about? It really is to tuck into God and to hide in God, to trust Him. And we get all these little inoculations with cars and little stupid things that happen, and we trust God for it. What about the big things that are coming down the pike? What does happen when the financial world really does bottom out? And I'm sure that many of you are thinking, well, that's never going to happen. Not here in America. But I would not have thought a lot of things would happen in this country that have already happened. And I see indication that there's even more things coming down the pipe. Unless something happens. You know, once something gets set in motion, it tends to stay in motion unless acted on by an outside force. Isn't that a law?
Yeah.
That's a law of physics. Right, John?
Conservation of energy.
Conservation of energy. Thank you. We had a big thing about that, Rachel and I. Remember that, Rachel? I was thinking it was the law of thermodynamics and it was conservation of energy. Anyway, thank you. Yeah. Yes. This is so important, and it really goes with what we're saying here. Is remember a couple of messages ago, I was saying that talking about wisdom. It says Jesus says that we're supposed to be wise as serpents and gentle, but gentle as doves. You see, there's a thing where you can't hide yourself from the fact that there's horrible things that are in the world and there's horrible people in the world and they're out to get you. The scripture says that evil people want to slay the righteous. Right? Yes? You can't just be a Pollyanna about this. And oh, God will put some kind of magic bubble over me and nothing bad will ever happen. Go talk to the Coptic Christian women and men and children that have been tortured, raped, killed, maimed over in the Middle East. They're Christians. Yeah. 60 churches destroyed. Christians. And it would be very easy for them to say, where are you, God? I thought that you would protect me. I thought that I could be hid in you and that I would be saved from all this trouble. That's not what the scriptures are talking about. It's talking about learning how to live in that. In the midst. Isn't that true? But see, we don't want the enemy. When you come to the reality of what the scriptures really say, the enemy wants to throw fear into you. Oh my gosh, that means that maybe something could happen to me and could happen to my children. And so you better learn how to tuck in. You better learn how to tuck into Christ.
You're talking about the scripture, not watered down.
Not watered down, not only the scripture that people want to have their ears tickled with. This is the whole balance of scripture, and we need to hear it, and the American church especially needs to hear the full gospel, not just the part that we want to hear, not the part that's comfortable for us, but we have to understand what is the truth. What is the truth about what's out ahead for us? It's not good. But in the midst of that, learning to live in the presence of God does give you joy. Has there ever been a time when you're worshiping and you're truly worshiping, not just going through motions, but if you're truly worshiping God, there is a peace that's on you. Isn't there? There is a joy. There is a feeling of being filled up and strength and love. That passes understanding. It happens when you're in God's presence. And boy, doesn't the church need to, especially at the time that we're in, raise up to that level. Right. It seems like the world is. And we need to be able to be some kind of example, some kind of pushback. With me? Some kind of pushback. You know, we say, well, if this is God's will that all these things happen at the end, no, God tells us what's going to happen at the end. It's not his will that people destroy one another. It's not his will that the church be destroyed, is it? God just knows that their evil is going to push against the church, push against Christ and his word. And there should be someone who's going to stand in the gap for that. We have Jesus standing in the gap. We need to stand in there and push against the evil that's in the world. But do it in a loving way. Doing it in a way that the way Christ shows us to go. But people have, and I mentioned this last week, people have this funny little thing. Love means tolerating everything. Love means going back from evil. No, that is not God's definition, is it? Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay? I'll start with verse 1, and it says this. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes. It's going on, and people don't even realize that it's in the process. We don't even realize how much closer now we are to his actual coming for the church. There's all these things going on in the spirit realm that we have no idea about. We have all these things that are going on, events that are taking place, and we don't even realize how they're connected to the coming of Christ yet. Isn't that right? But it says here, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. There's going to come a point where it looks like, hey, there's some resolution to all these problems in the world. There's going to be someone that's going to have answers to the Middle East situation. You know who that person is? The Antichrist. And when everybody thinks, we finally got a solution, then sudden destruction is going to happen. And then it's really going to get worse. It's bad now. It's going to look like things are going to get better, but it's not. It's going to get worse. Okay. If we take our instruction from the scripture, we have a good, wise as serpents understanding. We'll be shrewd about things. We'll look at things and reason things out. We talked about this with the word prudent meant. A prudent man, wise man. That person reasons things out. Reasoning something is not against faith, is it? Okay. So, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness. See, we're supposed to be the light.
That's right.
If the church isn't the light, it's lost its savor.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people in churches that are in the dark. Too many. But you, brethren, aren't in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. And not to being overtaken, that means you're not prepared. Something happens to you and, oh my gosh, I'm not ready for this. You're overtaken by the event, right? So the will of God is that we shouldn't be unprepared for what's going to be happening. And that's at every level. I'm telling you, it's at every level. It deals spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical. We need to be prepared. But we don't want to think about that. We want to just go on living our life just the way we don't want to make adjustments here and there. We don't want to have to bother to do this or that. We're not sacrificing. We're Americans. We just do as we please. And that's okay. not okay. But so it says here, verse 5, you are all children of light, the children of the day. We are not of night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Please, let us awake. Please, American church, awake. Let's not be asleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's what it's talking about here at the end of the age, in the days of his parousia, in the period of time that leads up to his actual coming for the church. It's days of evil. And we need to watch. We need to be able to make connections, have that wisdom to be able to make right choices. Yes? I think I'll go to this thing. I'm going to step it up a notch now. You ready for this? All that I'm saying really right now is it has the impression, the flavor of everything's a defensive kind of thing. We have to protect ourselves from this and, you know, be careful about these things. But see, God really wants something more from the church. Yeah. This is where this word's going to lead us to. So that we are a proactive church. Not just a defensive church that lots of times hides, is embarrassed, is ashamed of the gospel, slides back and doesn't engage with evil. Because maybe if you stand too strongly, somebody might think that you're too aggressive. And Christians shouldn't be too aggressive. Christians should just keep their darn mouths shut. Don't you dare talk about abortion. Don't you dare talk about these other issues. You have no right to those thoughts. You just keep those thoughts to yourself. You let me, talking about the government or whoever, you let me tell you what I think. And we will put it all on you. And you just sit there and take it like good little Christians. And that's where the Christian church is. I mean, in the whole. They are afraid. They are afraid they're going to lose parishioners. They're afraid that they're going to look intolerant, that they're not going to look loving. But you, I brought a message a year or so ago about this. Love and truth. It says love rejoices in the truth. And you look up the Greek definition of rejoice, and it means to be married to be intimately connected with. And so love and truth are intimately connected. You can't just love in man's own idea of love, what has an outward appearance of love. If the truth isn't there, it's not really love. It's some other kind of thing. It's some aberration of love. So, there's so many places, I don't know where I'm going to go next. Oh my God. All right. I think I'll read this to you, and then I have a couple little booklets I'm going to talk about too. This is a book called Imprimis. It's a pamphlet that is sent out by Hillsdale College. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of them. We need to be prepared to do certain things, to understand certain things, to be informed, and then be proactive. Everybody know what I mean by proactive? Ahead of the curve. To be ahead of these things, to know, to see what's coming, be ahead of it, pray through, and have a course of action. Proactive. Okay? So this says, here's one of the points I want to bring up about the church. Kathy. English philosopher Roger Scruton has written at length about what he calls the modern flight from beauty. Beauty. You know, running away from beauty. Distancing yourself from beauty. Which he sees is in every aspect of our contemporary culture. It is not merely that artists, directors, musicians, and others connected with the arts, here we might include authors of young adult literature, are in a flight from beauty. There is a desire to spoil beauty. Look at the literature that's out there in popular young adult books. It's garbage. It's all dark. It's all about the troubled children. It's all about vampires. It's all about, you know, it takes away from the beautiful side of life. Right? Yeah, all of that, and you guys all know this. There's a thing to spoil beauty. Because it's darkness. We're fighting the spirits of darkness. Well, what should the church do about that? You know what the church has done?
Nothing.
Nothing. Or even, maybe even step back. And even some of the church joining right with them. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. This is happening in the world.
Right.
These things are happening. And when those things happen, and maybe you'll remember how that went. There's only a small percentage. I mean, it's growing, but there's only a small percentage that of people, young people that have had to endure the things that these books are about a lot of times, right? And if kids read these books and they think, oh, that's the norm. And so they act in such a way accordingly because they think, oh, that's normal. Instead of reading books that bring in the beauty of this world, the good side of people's characters, they're not getting that like we used to. We active in that way. And I think more on an individual as individual basis than the church, because that's too big of an amalgamation and nothing happens. It's like the Federal Government. You know, so we have got to be people, individuals, church, that, I mean, you were crying, right? These things bother us. And, you know, we hear these things, people share about these different things that happen, and shouldn't we be crying out to God for solutions? More than we are, I think. Christian writers. I don't know. Maybe there's certain ways that many, all of us, could get involved with bringing out the beauty of life and making sure that at least in our contacts with different people that we are upbeat. The world isn't going to make us, you know, walk around, boy, you know, that darn Obama this or, you know, that darn Bush that or, you know, world, but we have Christ. Anything might happen to us, but I'm going to be as bold as a lion, right? Isn't that how we should have that kind of a positive, upbeat kind of feeling? And I'll tell you, I as one, I can, sometimes after I've listened to 1 hour of the news, I'm down like this. I'm kicking. I'm using words like gone. These things can wear on us, and they wear on us subtly. To tuck into God right away. Don't let this world heading toward evil get us down. Then we're in with the rest of the people. We need to be the light that's in the darkness. We need to be the pushback, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. My neighbor, she went to find some CDs at Walmart. Walmart said they're no longer going to carry the Christian CDs. You know, I can't find the Christian DVDs that yet. You know how I buy them from the library? You know what? 5 videos or DVDs have been released, and not one of them are on their shelves.
No.
And the only one I can find on Walmart CDs is Chris Tomlin and maybe Skill. That's it. They said they're no longer going to have a Christian section.
All right, now here's an example. Alright? We're having a discussion here in this whole thing. What can we do about that? We're gonna stop shopping here if you don't start putting in some Christian literature, Christian faiths. And if enough, what? Yeah, I know. That's a last resort.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying, we might not come up with some grand solution right now, but
I just think it's so much easier sometimes to sit
and be nothing. That's it. And if the church stays asleep about these different things, evil is. They're not going to go, oh, let's give the church a chance. They're going to push in and take more and take more and take more. And this is why this is so important for you and I to get this. This is why we as, not the church as an organization, but as individuals, as Christian individuals, when it comes to politics, you have lots of pastors say, yeah, politics, Christianity, stay apart. Politics affects your Christianity.
Yeah.
The Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood. Everybody know who they are? They're in high positions in our government. They've been appointed to high positions. That means they're going to affect certain things. Now, how would you like it for there to be laws passed? How would you like it if there were laws passed that required your children to take all these courses in Islam? I mean, you can't bring Christianity into a public school, but these people are going to push for that. These people are going to push for things because they want Sharia in the United States. And if you think you're just being read. All you got to do is read their own literature. This is a goal of the Muslim Brotherhood to bring America compliant to Sharia. So you got to know this, and this is why we've got to pray to break these spirit, because it starts in the spirit. These spiritual forces, strongholds that are working in people. We've got to bring them down. Shouldn't we be bringing down every stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ?
Yes.
Most states have adopted Common Core curriculum. And I'm sure, unbeknownst to most people, there's some bad things. There's some good things in there. Of course, it's going to be. It's going to be all bad.
Right.
You know, what is rat poison? 99%, but 1% arsenic, or whatever it is that they use. You only need a little bit of a percentage to destroy something, right? This is the age that we're in. Ray gave me these to look at. The Muslim Brotherhood in America and the Muslim Brotherhood in the Obama administration. Interesting. It enlightens you to the fact that evil. Now, I say evil for this reason. Well, that's just another religion, some people might say. They want to impose totally. They want to impose their religion all around the world. Now, that's a big difference between us evangelizing the world and whosoever will may come. That's way different than what the Muslims are going to do. You and I, we can't be naive about this. You guys got to know this and not think, oh, well, everything's just going to work out. Jesus will take care of us. Yeah, he will. We'll be protected because we're going to be in him. But does that mean we're not going to, get our heads chopped off or our kids taken away because we don't want them in a public school where that's being taught? And they're just taken away and put in somebody else's home? Yeah, don't be naive. That being, as the scripture says, simple-minded. The simple person is naive. There's evil in the world, and there's evil in people, and that makes some people evil. And they're going to do everything they can to promote evil. And we've just got to see that. That doesn't mean I stop loving these people. That doesn't mean I don't reach out and treat them kindly and, you know, do all of that. But I've got to realize what's out there. And then you and I take the correct precautions to preserve the Christian heritage that we have in this country. Why shouldn't we say that? Right now it's Islam, you know. Islam is in the shame to say we're going to make all of you this way. Make. Well, women are weapon or property. They don't have any rights.
Women are second.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to, I don't know. I imagine we could get a big education from people that have studied that out a little bit more. I'll just summarize it. It won't be good. You won't like it. All of us. Everybody that thinks that all religions are basically the same, they teach basically the same thing. Islam teaches one God. Do you think it's the same? You think it's the same? No, it's not the same God. It's not the same. They don't. There's not this open come if you will kind of attitude. You either do this or you die. Or, if you don't die, then you're going to be heavily taxed, you will be heavily monitored, and your life will be a living hell. That's what it is.
They're pushing our government, they're using our constitution against us.
Yeah.
So they get the rights they want.
Yeah.
And they're pushing our government that anybody speaks out against Allah or Islam, they're supposed to be thrown in prison.
Yeah. It's all going, see, in that direction. So we've got to be, don't allow, we bind any spirit of fear, we bind anything that would say, well, it's all over and it's too late and we can't do anything. No, the church is the salt, we can be the salt of the earth We can be the light of the world. We can be the power of God because Jesus is the power of God. Right? And so there is definitely hope, isn't there? And so this is how we got to approach it. And we should still make sure we have joy in our hearts. Amen? We have more problems than just the Muslim problem. But that's enough right there. There's enough darkness right there. But there's all these other things. The slide into moral decay. There's lots there. We're talking about people in places of government. The church shouldn't be concerned about that. That's politics. That has nothing to do with a pastor talking about that in a church. Are you kidding me? It has everything to do. Because we, as the church, as the light of the world, we need to know these things. We need to know what's going on, don't we? But we live our own lives, and our lives take up everything. We've got to be together on this, don't you think? All right, I'm gonna just read something here. I'm gonna close this. I'm about halfway through this message, so I think I'm gonna save the second part for next week. I'm gonna read to you something out of Ezekiel. Because I feel like this is important that the church step up and be these kinds of people. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 says this: Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. You hear this? Watchmen, people that hear from God, and it's a warning to the rest of the people. The watchman is required to give the message. Israel didn't always listen to the message. The church in general might not listen to the message. Oh, that's just that person's idea. He doesn't know. But I want you to at least consider that you're hearing a warning from God about waking up to these things that are happening in our country. And at least be prayerful. At least that. But I think we better vote smartly instead of by political party. Because most people in the country, they've already decided what political party they feel they're connected with. And so then it doesn't matter who the candidate is. I always vote Democrat. Oh, I always vote Republican. We got a problem there. Especially when most of them aren't on either party any good. What?
The
Yeah. Oh, I think so. I think there's the direct relation is that God's talking to Ezekiel as the son of man. We're his sons too. And he's talking to us. You know, we need to be watchful. I mean, he's told all of us to be watchful, right? All right, let me try to wrap this up. In Ezekiel chapter 33, I'm going to read verse 7, and then I'm going to go back and read 3 through 6. So you, son of man, I have sent you as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear the word at my mouth, and then warn them from me. It says in verse 3, going back to verse 3, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and doesn't take warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood is on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not the warning, his blood is upon himself. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchmen see the sword come and doesn't blow the trumpet, and the people aren't warned, if the sword does come and takes away the people from among them, he is taken up in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So it's very important for any of us, pastors or any of us, that when you see something and it's a warning from God, that you express that. Yeah? Because if you see something coming and you've prayed it through and you really believe that this is from the Lord, you have a responsibility to say it. Now, it might be from God, it might not. It might be received, it might not. I'm saying what I see very, very clearly through the wisdom of the scriptures, through what the scriptures are saying and the events that are happening in this world. We are in an evil day, and we need to be these people who recognize it for what it is, and be a church that doesn't just step away from it, but in a loving way confronts evil. We got to be the pushback. We've got to be. And I know that most people might confine that to prayer, but there's many, many other ways that the church needs to be the salt of the earth. It's not only through prayer. And if we're only through prayer and we're not doing these other things as God leads us, then we're only doing part of what he wants us to do. And therefore, we in a sense, lose some of that savor, don't we? I don't know what to say for every single one of us. But you need to be praying. You need to be tucked into God. You need to be at peace, knowing that there's a spiritual protection that you and I have. That doesn't mean that something bad might not happen to us. That could happen. But we'll be tucked in. And when we're there, we're going to be able to hear clearly, and then we do what God wants us to do. I'm not going to go to the second part of the message. I will come back to that. I will just say this as a closing thought, because that'll be where I'm going to start next week with. I just wrote this down. And then I have the scriptures I want to share with you about this. We are at a special time in history. Do you think so?
Yes.
And because we are, we need extraordinary people to be who God wants us to be. Yeah? We're not extraordinary people. So the final point of this is that God will give us extraordinary grace to do what the church needs to do at the end of this age. This is exciting time. It's exciting to me to consider what I'm going to bring to you next week. I thought I was going to get to it today. So I hope you're all here next Sunday for that. Lord, we thank you that you love us, you died for us, your blood was spilt for us. We have a place in heaven reserved for us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. that you are our hiding place, that you are our ever-present help in trouble. You are there for us, Lord. We can rely on you, we trust in you, and our hope is in you. And so, Father, as we go through this evil time, let us not be dragged down by all the things that can take us away from serving you and loving you and giving all our worship to you. We love you, Lord. Be with us this day. In Jesus' name. A prepared people for your coming.